Questions to ask yourself today, because I'm sure at one time or another, if not a bunch of times, life has thrown a curveball your way and caught you off guard because maybe somebody died, somebody got sick, you lost a job, some kind of financial crisis, or your spouse may have presented you with divorce papers. And those types of events have been presented to you to be able to pivot, to be able to not just pivot in general, but course correct according to the needs of that particular situation. I think often we want to do one size fits all, one size applies in all things, and what you did in one circumstance, you should do here. And often, I think people, as just human nature, depending on your persona, your personality, and your habits, see those things as basically bad news, right? That it's the end of something, the loss of something, and that's the only options in that situation, especially if we talk specifically on death. So you can pivot yourself not only environmentally, but emotionally, spiritually, and ask yourself the question or statement to yourself in a question form of finding out what you have just been given and being something as a chance, as an opportunity. And I get it. In the moments, depending on your level of consciousness, the way that you think, the way that your mindset works, and if you still are more of a victim in this life opposed to the creator of your life, it can feel very, very heavy and very weighted and more of, why am I being punished? Why is this happening to me? How can I find joy when he's not here? How can I find, how am I going to pay my bills if my job's not here? But instead you're given an opportunity. So I'm going to share a couple of circumstances in my life, some stories with you to show you that there is good in everything if you allow yourself to see it, if you allow yourself to pivot and turn the course of nature in front of you to an opportunity, no matter what the particular situation is. So going back to 2005, 2005, Hurricane Katrina hit Louisiana and I lost my home to flooding. I lost my college to flooding. I lost my car to flooding. I lost my job to flooding. And every single person in my life at that time, for a family member or friend, also lost their home. So the initial, shock of it, yeah, was definitely, at no point was I like, opportunity has arisen. Not to mention, I think I was like 19 years old. And I remember being in a hotel room in Blytheville, Arkansas, because that's where we ended up evacuating to. And we, as my parents, myself, and my younger brother, who was still in like grade school then, because he's 7 years younger than me, and two dogs, two rabbits, and a cat. And we're at a truck stop motel. And my dad had left to try to go use a computer at a library. And I remember looking at the television, and it had an aerial view, like literally down the street from where we lived. And it looked like an ocean. It looked like a lake. It looked like a body of water, and normally is, roads and streets. And in that moment in time, I knew life had changed. I knew life as I once knew it was going to be different from ever on in. And I watched my mom begin to break down. I watched my brother begin to get angry. I kind of stayed neutral. In fact, if I look back now, almost the entire process, I stayed very neutral. My main goal at hand was, how can I normalize what life is and how quickly can I get back to that? So for me, if I now fast forward, kind of look at hindsight and look at how life had taken its turn for me, if it wouldn't have been for that event allowed me for the first time ever, because even when I was in college, I actually still lived at home and I commuted. So for a year, I had been commuting. For a year, I still lived with my parents because I chose that financially. It was a smarter move for me instead of going into hellacious student debt and stuff. And my family, no, I didn't have money and all this other jazz. That's not the point. So I was forced forced by Mother Nature to not be able to live like I once did, but then chose to find other ways to make and meet my goals. Okay. So I pivoted and I saw opportunity in it. Now, when I look back at it, I was given the chance to really grow. I had a pattern of, kind of a cyclic cyclone type of nature of could be considered a downward spiral. I had like the worst case of an eating disorder. I had a promiscuous period. I experienced my first encounterment of spending more than I had and accrued credit card debt from shopping and doing all these different things because I was in the heaviest state of depression I ever was in. And not so much because of the storm that came or because I wasn't living at home. It's because I was put in a situation where I had to begin to really see myself. And I still at that time in my life saw things as the problem, circumstances as the blockage, as the thing that was the hindrance of not being able to have, not being able to become. And the more I would look externally, the angrier I became. And then I always had this thing about the mirror. And that around that time, I'd say like 20 to 21, I started doing inner work with the mirror. I wasn't pursuing anything, so I didn't know this was actually a thing. But in the beginning, it wasn't positive. It wasn't gentle. It was actually very mean. But that moment in time was when I had the realization is regardless of what happens in my external circumstances, it's my choice what I'm going to do with it and what I want to take with it. Now, when I say that, it wasn't exactly the most prettiest endeavor and like I tied it with a bow and the rest of my life, I never had another circumstance that made me feel something of the external world or those situations that I wanted to be angry at and blame, because that's not the case. From that on, I had numerous encounterments of unpredictability of losing jobs, thinking that I'm going to get promoted inside companies because I was accelerating, and then out of nowhere, with no actual reasoning, getting laid off, having to go to marriage counseling before I got married, and which ended up being one of the best things we could have ever done for our relationship. So to me, having these situations, and then as of last July, losing my brother-in-law very unexpectedly. I mean, to the point that everyone was in shock about it. It wasn't like, oh, we knew this was going on or this happened. It was a very abrupt thing that occurred that I didn't even find out about my husband. I didn't find out till the next morning after it happened because our phones are on Do Not Disturb and all this other stuff. And it was and then I find out on text message for myself personally. And then I had been in a peak shift inside my business at that time. Earlier that year, we moved into our new home. So it's like change after change after change. So there's opportunity everywhere. And for the first time ever in my life, I have done mediumship of, I call it, I mostly read human. I'm a medium to those that's alive. But I also can do those that have passed on. It's just not really my chosen spiritual modality. I like to help those that are present instead of those that are in the past. And my brother-in-law came through my body. It was the most intense, call it deceased person channeling I have ever done in my life, to where he spoke through me to his brother. And I mean, mended things, acknowledged things, talked through things. And ever since that day, I occasionally, if y'all ever notice, especially if you've been a client of mine, since last July, I sometimes rhyme when I channel. And he liked to write poetry. He liked to sing songs. And then, so that's July. August, my mom ended up getting sick. And then not long after, my dad, who was completely well, ends up getting sick. And on September 16th, my dad died. So I had this. And then in that whole period of time, I say this in, did I experience emotional feelings? Yes. I want to share with you some of the things that I was experiencing between the death of my brother-in-law, the death of my dad, both in physical form, the death of their physical form, but also the death of the identity of my mother, of what she has held for so many years. So I have been witnessing a grieving widow who, as of a couple of weeks ago, would have made 40 years with my dad on April 24th. And it's been a learning criteria. And so things that I have acquired, again, being able to pivot, being able to see the opportunity in the situation. My mom, when I was a child, her parents got sick. her mom ended up having brain surgery when I was about 4 and ended up a vegetable. It didn't go right. She ended up losing the ability to walk and talk. And for 4 years was in a rehabilitation center until she passed on. And my grandpa had colon cancer, heart attacks, more colon cancer. And at the very end, died of staph infection. So it's not funny, but the thing is like, this is the thing about crazy thing of life. So I had a repetitive form coming of sick parents in front of you and having a child. So when I was a child to my mother, I was emotionally neglected, not out of her conscious choice. Just she is a person that when there's really big emotions and really big things, she does not regulate them. And when really large circumstances and events need to come and she needs to make decisions, instead of becoming a leader, she shuts down and she wants somebody else to help guide her. And that's okay. That's her journey. So in this lifetime, I've been given the opportunity to be able to step up to be that leader. So in these circumstances that I've been given, I've been able to grow as a leader. I never used to attribute those words to my name or to the association of myself. So through my dad being in a hospital and due to restrictions that were uncommon in the past, that were present as of last year, not being able to physically be present in the environment and making decisions off the phone and coming from a very emotionally unregulated family, I was the one that kept maintaining composure. And I even asked myself at times, where am I getting this from? And I realized I had been preparing for this moment my entire life. I realized that reactions, this moment in time proved more than ever in my life that reactions do not bring results. And sometimes response doesn't bring results either. Sometimes the moments of silence to then respond. Sometimes the moments of silence to contemplate and to think, to still be silent, is the answer. And I learned leadership. I was able to pivot myself into a way to, one, it harnessed the power of realizing the self-identity, or the identity of self, is so imperative and so important, especially if you are a parent, because one day the little children aren't little children anymore. And one day they are kids, right? And then those kids turn into teenagers, and the teenagers turn into young adults, and eventually are just full-fledged adults, right? Even though they're your kid or your baby, the rest of your life, it's not the same. They don't need you like they did when they're screaming as they're sitting on the toilet because they need you to wipe their ass. They're not crying in the middle of the night because they need a bottle and they can't even communicate what they want with words. They don't do that anymore, do they? Or the same thing for the spouse, that maybe you, the one that catered, not because your husband or wife or whatever is a bitch or a selfish, lazy sack of shit. Sometimes people, their love language is acts of service and just simply enjoy being of service to people and find value in that. And so that was my mom's entire life, serving other people. And she focused so much on other people, whether it was focusing on other people's opinions or focusing on the well-being of my brother and I or my dad, whether or not what food was there, what hair was in place or not. She lived externally into where when her world began to crumble, she was given the opportunity to do one thing, fall to the ground or pivot. And what did she do? She's learning in her own terms to rise into leadership. Mantras that we say often is, I can do hard things. I can do scary things. I can do things that I haven't done before. Although this may be outside my comfort zone, although this is a little scary right now, I can work through it. What's the worst that could happen? Especially when it comes to technology with her, like the worst that can happen, you just turn it off and you start all over again. We'll figure it out. So things come our way. Things have come your way. Just as I tell my mother, not literally today, but figuratively in the present moment of now, when I see her, is you're given a choice and you're giving circumstances to choose. You're here to be the chooser of your life. And you can choose whatever way you want. This is your life. There's nothing you have to be. There's no check mark or checklist or anything that you need to have other than what you decide for yourself. So these are the moments of life sometimes when natural disasters occur, totally outside of my control. What I was in control of was if I was going to react, respond, or pivot. What was I going to choose with my environmental factors? How what actually started to happen was I began to change my emotional, my mental plane began to actually become a focus of my life. The small things of turning my pessimism, which took years, and I still can be pessimistic, but not quite as like 90% like I once was. And one of those things as a tool, if anybody is has beginning chapters or has a teenager or a young adult in your life that you feel really needs some type of something and it can't come from you, check out Life's, it's, I don't have the book in front of me. It's Joe Vitale. And it's either like Life's Book of Purpose or Life's Hidden Meaning of Purpose or something like that. Like the manual you should have been given at birth. It's something along those things. So the context of it, and Joe Vitale is the author. And this book is like, again, like 15, maybe 20 years old. Okay. It's really short. It's not written like a novel. My dad gave it to me. It's something I will keep for as long as I can, and maybe even gift it to one of my children, because he even wrote inside of it. That was one of my starting points of taking ownership of my life. And still to this day, in this moment, I wake up and sometimes I'm not even sure who I am. I'm not sure if I've even done enough. I'm not sure if I'm good enough. I'm not sure if I'm happy enough. I'm not sure if I'm satisfied. I'm not sure if I don't have a full identity outside of my children and my husband, if they really were gone. Who am I? I have completely stripped myself from the attachment to my business. So I went in completely naked and voided to that occurrence, which was an incredible amount of euphoria, by the way, for anyone that is completely, utterly started over by choice. It was a gradual progression because I still was stubborn, even though I was choosing to end things, but it was the biggest growth again that I had by allowing myself to move into a higher leadership form, because we often are making decisions and doing things simply because, well, it's there. You lived in that location simply because, well, it was convenient and you're kind of lazy or you don't feel like moving. And well, it might take some time. It might take some effort. It might take a belief system, and you don't want to do all those things. I mean, if you get really real with yourself, we come up with 700 excuses, 700 reasons why it can't. But what about the 700 reasons why it can, or that it could, and the potential that it has? How often are we favoring the opportunity and the situation? My dad dying allowed me, after many, without getting into it, I think I may have talked about it on other episodes, but it doesn't matter. He has a son from a marriage from many years ago. I have an older half brother who lives in New York. And we had grown distant over the years, like literally no communication whatsoever. Other than like a card, I think I got sent in 2013 when I got married. But other than that, not much communication, so communication between him and my dad. But that was another thing I had to face. Like during the death of my father, I ended up gaining this whole other relationship with him, in which him and my sister-in-law now has a bit of a relationship with my children that didn't exist prior. They didn't even know of them. They didn't even know who they were. So again, more beauty into it. I have the healthiest relationship I've ever had with my mother, like in my entire life. It's still nowhere near what my expectations ever wanted, but because I let go of the expectations and I simply see my mom as she is instead of what I want, and I respect the boundaries that I've created, and I've pivoted the situation to what works best for me, but also honors her, to basically be of service to her. And yeah, I mean, if I'm being straightforward and frank, sometimes I am. I'm like the mother to my mom or the coach to my mom. Now I take myself out as this daughter because I was trapped in a 15-year-old cycle pretty much since I was 15. Because I think that's when I finally started to use my voice, and I was sharing a lot of anger then because I felt so different and felt so odd. Again, another one of those situations, I decided when I took my depression and I took my awkwardness, I do this, like you think you've done it, you can do it again and again, of honoring that I've always been different, always, since I was young. And I've been told by like my mom most of my life, like, where did you come from? You're so different. Why can't you be like, why aren't you like? And she doesn't say that so much anymore. She doesn't really say it ever, in fact, because the more I started honoring who I was and pivoting to that factor, the circumstances that was in front of me, opposed to seeing it as something negative, I began to make it something positive, and it turned into something incredible. So at the end of all of this is, you are incredible if you want to see yourself that way. Otherwise, yeah, you're a sack of potatoes. So suck it and live life that way. Or I think inside, deep down inside, especially if you listen to anything, even such as this mere tiny little podcast of the world, which is just a little like dust particle of information for you, there's something in you that yearns for something different than what you've been doing. And I think that's incredibly beautiful. And sometimes we don't honor that. So I encourage you to look back at those moments in life that may have seemed like they sucked asshole and find the beauty in them, because I guarantee you there's growth. Whether it was the shittiest, most relationship and you were beaten and locked in the closet, did you come out of it? Yeah, you may have come out with some PTSD, some scars. What did you gain from it? What did you learn through the healing process? Who did you meet through therapy? Who did you meet maybe as your next partner? Did friendship show you who really cared in your life? Were you forced to face yourself and the decisions that you made? These are the things of life that is an incredible gift if and when we allow ourselves to see it.